Today is the 28th of March 1998, the second date of our retreat. Usually, I interview meditators every day in the retreat and also give Dhamma talks every day. Now, because of my health, I can't do that. That's why we do the list of interview on every second day visit. We roundly put the 1st of March on the list of interview, but actually the 1st March has no interview. I take every Sunday as a holiday, and Dhamma talks also on every second date. So where there's on the day there's interview, there won't be Dhamma. On the day there's a Dhamma, there won't be interview. The purpose is to have time for rest and also for meditator to have ample time for practice. If you have an interview and Dhamma talk in the same day, you have to spend a lot of time on the Dhamma talk and interview, so you have not much time to spend on your meditative practice. So we do on every second day Dhamma talk and on every second day interview. But there are 4 days in the list. I think the 7th and 9th of March, and also 14th and 16th of March. On these 4 days, you have both interviews and Dhamma talk. You should be careful. Yesterday, because I would like you to rightly understand the technique of meditation, so I forgot to tell you about the preparatory stages before you start to meditation. And meditation text, especially in Pali text, the preparatory stage is mentioned because it is important to start with meditation. The first one is to pay respect to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, and take out a precepts. Observance of a precepts is the basic requirement, as I told you yesterday, for every meditative practice, either samatha meditation or vipassana meditation. After you have taken up a precept, then you have to make apology to if you speak contemptuously or in jest to a noble one or about a noble one who has attained enlightenment, such as path and fruition. So you have to personally apologize him or her if you do, if you happen to speak contemptuously or in jest to a noble one, Arya Pukla, who has attained any of a path or fruition knowledge. But if that person is not available here, you have to make this apology through your meditation teacher, or you should do it introspectively to yourself. In this way, what you happen to do to this noble one is not a hindrance to your progress in meditation, especially to your attainment of enlightenment. After that, you have to entrust yourself to the Buddha, the omniscient Buddha. If you, during meditation, if you entrust yourself to the Buddha, you don't have any unpleasant vision in your meditation, even though you have unpleasant vision or dreadful vision, your mind is not moved by this vision. You note it and it goes away because of your entrust yourself to the Buddha. And another stage is you have to place yourself under the guidance of your teacher so that the teacher can instruct you or teach you frankly and correct you are, if you practice wrongly, unless you place yourself under the guidance of the teacher, the teacher may be reluctant to teach you frankly and to correct you if you have some defects in the practice. That's why you need to place yourself under the guidance of your teacher. Then there are four kinds of protection, which is known as Chitura Rakha Dhamma. Chitura Rakha Dhamma means the four protection Dhamma. The four protections subject of a meditation. When you practice these four protection before you start your Vipassana meditation, it's very much helpful for your progress in meditation. The four subjects of the protections are, the first one, the Buddha. The attributes of the Buddha, or Buddha Nosti Bhavana, the recollection of the Buddha's attributes. Then the second, Metta meditation, loving-kindness meditation towards all living beings. Then the third, reflection on the loathsome aspects of the body. It's so-called Asupa Bhavana. The fourth is reflection on the death, Maranasati or Maranasati in Pali. As to the first one, the recollections of Buddha's attributes, you have to reflect upon the nine chief attributes of the Buddha. Araham, Samma, Sambuddho, Vijja, Charana, Sampanno, Sukhito, Lokavidu, and so on. Here, Araham means worthy one. The Buddha is worthy of honor because he has completely eliminated all kinds of defilements, and his mind is perfectly purified, so he is worthy of honor. Reflecting on these attributes of Araham, it's also inspiring you to make progress in your meditation. But the second one is Sammasambuddha. Sammasambuddha means the Buddha is perfectly enlightened by himself. He has no teacher to make him enlightened. He didn't learn anything from any teacher to discover the truth and to purify his mind and to destroy all defilements. Before he was enlightened, he learned Samatha meditation from the two great teachers of the age. From the first teacher, he learned Samatha meditation, which enabled him to attain the seven stages of jhana, concentration. But he was not able to discover the truth, because this is just concentration, not realization of the phenomena. From the second teacher, he learned Samatha meditation, which enabled him to attain all the eight stages of jhana. We call it Atta Samapatti, means the eight kinds of entrance. So here also, he was not able to discover the truth. He was not able to be enlightened, because this is also just concentration, no realization of the phenomena. After that, he come to realize that these jhanas are not the Dhamma that enable him to discover the truth or to be free from suffering. So he left these two teachers and practiced some ascetic practices for 6 years by himself in the forest of Uruvela. But that is also the wrong practice. So the wrong practice didn't enable him to attain anything, so he has decided this is the wrong practice. Then he went to Kayasisa, a place where there is a very big bodhi tree. Under that bodhi tree, he practiced, first of all, Samatha meditation, by which he attains the first, the second, the third, and the fourth stage of Nyaya Jhana, that's a deep concentration. based on this is the four stages of a concentration or jhana, he observes whatever arises in his body and mind as it is, that was vipassana. Only then he comes to realize the three characteristics of mentality and physicality, impermanence, suffering, non-self, or no-soul nature of a bodily and mental phenomena. Eventually he attained the enlightenment, having destroyed all mental defilements. So the Buddha is perfectly enlightened by himself. He did not have any help or any teaching from any other teachers. That is called Sammasambuddha. Sammasambuddha, the Buddha is perfectly enlightened by himself. Reflecting on these attributes, you can attain some degree of concentration. It gives you it inspires you to go forward with your practice ardently and honestly. So this is also one of the protection meditation. And also, practice of this protection meditation, the Buddha knows the power and recollection of the Buddha's attributes, prevents you from protects you against any illness or any danger during your retreat. Then the second one is metta meditation, loving kindness meditation. You have done this loving kindness meditation a lot, I think. Wishing peace and happiness of all living beings, reflecting upon their welfare, saying mentally some sentences such as, may all living beings be happy and peaceful. May all living beings be free from animal states. May all living beings be free from disease and dangers. May all living beings be free from both mental and physical suffering. In this way, you develop the loving kindness, the spirit of loving kindness, metta citta in you. This also the one of the protection meditation. Then the third one is reflecting upon loathsome aspects of the body. You have to reflect on your body, thinking about all impurity, all aspects of impurities in the body, such as blood, pus, urine, defecation, intestine, stomach, phlegm, pus, and so on. Reflecting upon this, the repulsive nature of the body, you can get the benefit of detachment from the body. If you do not see the impurities of the body, you are in this meditation. If I strive my best in the practice, I may have some illness or some weakness and so on. In this way, you may be reluctant to work hard on meditation. So that is because you are too much attached to your body. This meditation, which reflects upon the loathsome aspects of the body, decreases your attachment to the body. Then you can strive your best and you can work hard on your practice. Then the last one is reflection on the death. Everyone who is born is subject to death, but no one has the idea that he may die tonight or tomorrow, day after tomorrow, or this month or next month. He assumed that he would live, say, at least another 10 years and 20 years and so on. But the death follows the living beings very closely. At any time, one can die. So that's why the Buddha said, you should reflect upon the death which comes to you at any time. When you have when you recollect or when you reflect upon the death, You should think about what the Buddha said. Death is sudden. Death is sudden. Living is uncertain. Life is precarious. Death is sure. So at any moment, I may die. This way, if you reflect upon the death, then you may feel urgent to practice this meditation and to attain any stage of enlightenment or any stage of insight knowledge. So this is also one of the protection meditation. There are four protection meditations. The first one is a recollection of the Buddha's attribute. The second one is a development of loving kindness. The third is reflection of loathsome aspects of the body. The fourth is a reflection on the death. So these, before you start to practice your Upasana meditation every day, in early morning, you should do these four protection meditations about 2 minutes each. Recollections about the Buddha's attributes, 2 minutes. Development of loving kindness, metta, 2 minutes. Reflection on the loathsome aspects of the body, 2 minutes. Reflection on death, also 2 minutes. Only after that you should start to practice your Upasana meditation, insight meditation. But here, metta meditation is very much helpful for insight meditation, because when you do metta meditation, your mind very easily concentrated on the object. Then you may feel calm and peaceful, tranquil. At that time, you switch on your mind to Vipassana, insight meditation. Then the insight meditation is very good. So for metta meditation, you should spend about 10 or 15 minutes on this meditation. Only after that you should practice Vipassana meditation, insight meditation. Sometimes your mind may be reluctant to practice, or you may feel lazy to practice. And sometimes you may have a lot of worries or a lot of restlessness. You are unable to observe them, you are unable to overcome them by noting them. In such a case also, you should do metta meditation, sit about one sitting or two sitting. Then gradually your mind will be concentrated on the object of metta. Then you may feel calm, peaceful, tranquil. Then you can return to Vipassana meditation. So metta meditation is such a benefit, effective meditation for Vipassana meditation. It's enough now today. May all of you rightly understand the technique of these four protections and the technique of Vipassana meditation, and strive your best to attain the cessation of suffering.